Okay, we have one more speaker before we have our break for this afternoon. Then there will be three remaining speakers for the rest of the session. So our next speaker, we're going to talk about precise nitrogen cycling under row crops with microbial husbandry. He's from University of Minnesota. It's Mr. Patrick Ewing. Is that how we pronounce it? Okay.
Great. Hi, everyone. Thanks for sitting through the session with me and sticking around. My name is Patrick Ewing. I'm a PhD candidate at the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics at the University of Minnesota. Today I'm going to talk about this most recent project that we've been working on. You see this corn and soybean field down in Rosemont, Minnesota, which we're referring to as precise nitrogen cycling under row crops with microbial husbandry. So what do we mean by microbial husbandry? Well, very simply, just manipulating the soil environment with the purpose of altering soil microbial function. The function that I'm interested in today is nitrogen stabilization. So here we have a graph of corn nitrogen uptake throughout the growing season, and you can see that the period of peak nitrogen demand by the corn is middle of the summer, which is a full 150 days before period of peak nitrogen supply if we're fertilizing in the fall, which is quite common practice, especially in western Minnesota. And in between that, we have this period of peak nitrogen losses when the soil is warm, there's a lot of water moving around, and so all this mineral nitrogen that we put down in the fall can leave. And what we would like to do is, especially in this second half, right after the crop is planted, take some of this mineral nitrogen and, instead of losing it, turn it into potentially mineralizable organic nitrogen that can maybe feed the crop later on. So theoretically, so because this is a microbial function, we need to make the right environment for the microbes to do this. And theoretically, that ideal environment should have a lot of carbon, especially high quality carbon that's accessible. It should be relatively undisturbed, which generally increases microbial biomass in general. And it should have adequate moisture and temperature. So we hope to create this ideal environment using common soil management techniques. The management that we're using is a combination of tillage systems. We're looking at this tillage system, ridge till, on the left. And the sort of defining feature of ridge till are these permanent stable ridges, which you can see in the row, and then in between you have this sort of valley. And we're comparing that to chisel plow, and then the other treatment systems that we're using are a rye cover crop versus no cover crop. The soil environments in these different management systems will look like this. Again, this row in the ridge till system is undisturbed, it has a lot of root carbon, it's a little warmer and it's a little drier, especially compared to the furrow environment where all of last year's crop tends to kind of concentrate, and because of the topography, also moisture tends to concentrate in this furrow area. The furrow is referring to the inner row area, just to be clear. Now contrast this with what you would see in a chisel plow system, where again you have all the crop roots growing in the row, of course, but in general the soil environment is mixed, the residue is kind of dispersed throughout, and then again, it has relatively less moisture than, say, that ridge till inter-row. So as I mentioned, we're also looking at cover cropping. And we're viewing cover cropping not necessarily as a nitrogen scavenger in and of themselves, though rye certainly is very good at that. We're thinking of it more as a source of carbon before planting to get the microbial community going, particularly of mycorrhizal fungi, and then also after termination, after the corn crop has been planted, as a source of labile carbon to sort of keep things moving along before the corn really starts to take off. So these treatments are arranged in a randomized complete block with four replicates just 40 minutes south of here. We're managing it in a corn soybean rotation, but I'm only talking about the corn plots today. The specific questions that we're asking are, first, does this moist, carbon-rich environment stabilize more mineral nitrogen? And then, what are the environmental versus microbial characteristics that drive nitrogen stabilization? And so to tease apart this more mechanistic question, the second question, into these different environments, I planted a series of root ingrowth ingrowth bags that come in three different flavors. So first, we have this bag that made of 1 millimeter mesh that allows both roots and fungi to grow into it. And then, moving down the line, we are excluding roots, but allowing fungi to grow in with 25 micron mesh, which is really tiny. And then we're also excluding the fungi with the same mesh, but giving it a little disturbance twice a week. And so that'll break the hyphal connections from outside the soil into the soil. So in these bags all have the same amount of sterile, homogeneous soil. So any microbial activity happening in them is from the surrounding environment. And I added 125 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare to each of them, which is a low to standard rate in our part of the country. So I placed these in both the row and the furrow, 10 replicates per plot, and I pulled them after 4 to 5 weeks, which is right about banding fertilizer time in our area. These are the measurements that I'll talk about today. In terms of environment, we have cover crop biomass, soil moisture, and soil temperature. And then the nitrogen pools I'll focus on are ammonium and potentially mineralizable nitrogen, and a little bit of nitrate if you guys are interested in that as well. So to focus on these soil environments, first off, do we actually see different environments between these different management systems? So I'm going to talk mostly about the row today, and though you see that we don't see any difference between chisel plow and ridge till temperature or moisture in the row, this is actually kind of an interesting result, because if you remember, this ridge till system is also undisturbed. So generally, the undisturbed soil management system that people think of is no-till, right? But no-till tends to also have wetter, cooler soil during this time of year than a conventionally tilled system. So us not having that temperature and moisture difference kind of confounding the disturbance is kind of a nice scientific, base, if you will. So in this row environment, as I said, we do have other sort of qualitative differences. We have disturbance in the chisel plow system. We have the roots from last year's crop in the row of the ridge till system. And then, of course, residue mixing going along with the disturbance. The first question, do we see some sort of evidence of of mineral nitrogen becoming potentially mineralizable nitrogen in a warm, moist environment? Here we have a scatter plot that addresses sort of the underlying assumption of that, which is that this mineral nitrogen is becoming potentially mineralizable nitrogen. So on the y-axis, you see potentially mineralizable nitrogen, and on the x, ammonium, in these different management systems in the row. And the key point here is that there's no relationship between them, right? Which suggests both that ammonium is not necessarily directly going into this potentially mineralizable nitrogen pool. It also means that these different nitrogen pools are responding to different environmental factors. And then just for your reference, the range of ammonium that we're seeing in this bag, about 100 parts per million, corresponds to about 60 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at the 6 centimeter bag depth. And then for potentially mineralizable nitrogen, that same range is about 18 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So these are economically real numbers as well. So focusing in on this potentially mineralizable nitrogen pool, and looking at what's causing any changes in it, we see this graph shows the amount of potentially mineralizable nitrogen in each of these bag treatments, and then also in these different tillage systems as well. And what it's showing is this bag by tillage treatment interaction in the row. And essentially what's happening is when we allow carbon to get into the bag, we are increasing our potentially mineralizable nitrogen in the ridge till system, but not the chisel plow system. Now, because the root bag has both roots and fungi growing into it, but the fungi bag only has fungi, and we see a sort of similar effect in both treatments, that suggests to me at least that the real driver of this is the fungi due to this, and that might be due to the stability of this ridge till system. And then moving on to ammonium, ammonium here seems, at least this year, responded significantly to both bag treatment and cover cropping, but those were independent of each other. And so in general, in the root bags, we see lower ammonium than the fungi bags. The fungi bags, lower ammonium than bags where we didn't let anything in. And this really looks like a sort of nitrogen removal effect, where the roots, of course, are taking up nitrogen for the main crop, for the corn plant, but the fungi are also have been documented to move nitrogen from areas that are relatively rich, like these nitrogen bags, to areas that are relatively nitrogen poor, like residue or the surrounding soil. And so it looks like that's what's going on with this. And then to interpret this cover crop effect, that suggests that rather than being a really nice carbon source, which you would expect would decrease mineral nitrogen, just to carbon nitrogen ratios, instead this cover crop, which we terminated relatively young and has a pretty low carbon and nitrogen ratio in and of itself, could actually be decreasing this nitrogen sink effect of the surrounding soil. So in summary, we don't see any direct evidence of mineral nitrogen becoming potentially mineralizable nitrogen, but we do see distinct differences in how nitrogen is changing between these different treatments. And a lot of these changes could be driven by fungi in this row environment in particular. But we also need to be careful about interpreting this in the context of also this sort of sink strength of both the crops and the soil surrounding, right? What does this mean for microbial husbandry? You know, this deliberate soil management for microbial function. Well, we designed some management systems based on theory to see if we could increase this nitrogen immobilization function. And we certainly altered nitrogen cycling. Maybe it wasn't exactly how we hoped it would be. But we did increase potentially mineralizable nitrogen at this critical time period when we lose a lot of nitrogen as well. So with that, I would like to thank my committee, this PZM crew, which are researchers at these various universities also working on this Ridgetill project in different capacities, my lab members, other collaborators at the University of Minnesota, and of course my funding from the NSF and the USDA. With that, I will take questions. Yeah.
How do you know it's fungi and not bacteria that are causing this effect? Because my understanding of fungi versus bacteria is that bacteria tend to do better than fungi in high nitrogen environments, and also in agricultural systems where the soil has essentially been disturbed, and it's more likely to have an oxidative microcycle.
Right. So we don't know that it's not bacteria, right? And certainly the bacteria are also growing in along the fungi hyphospheres, particularly the mycorrhizal fungi. The reason that I'm of course a little bit biased towards fungi myself, but
There
we go. So this Ridgetill system is quite stable, and where these bags are in the row doesn't move from year to year at all. And so because of that, it's a really nice environment for fungi as well. And we do see higher fungal activity in the Ridgetill system in general.
How do you determine that?
On a separate study, I looked at colonization of these young and intermediate corn plants.
Do you think that you'll do any kind of community characterizations like PLFA or even microbial biomass
geometry? Yeah, I have microbial biomass samples that just haven't been analyzed yet. PLFAs would be great to do. But they take a lot of time, and if you have a high throughput method, though, I'd love to hear about it.
Good method finding, some good luck.
Great, cool.
Okay, we can have one more question. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So,